For many artists and musicians, trying to make their craft sync with climate change action could be a struggle in itself, on top of trying to survive with their craft amid a world forced to socially distance. But according to Green Music Australia, their comprehensive and practical handbook, Sound Country, a Green Artist Guide, will make climate action and living sustainably as simple as ABC. The guide was created to help make sustainable practice achievable for musicians at every level to help artists make a difference. Famous artists from all over Australia had been involved, such as First Nations music producer Rhoda Roberts, environmental consultant Matt Wicking, and even musicians such as Regurgitator and Alara Briggs Patterson and Missy Higgins. CEO of Green Music Australia, Berish Bylander, explains how it all came about.
We've been around for about a decade, and it was born from the inspiration and idea of a guy called Tim Hollow, who is a musician himself. He's a violinist for the band Fourplay. And he had been touring the country and seeing the devastation in the wake of many events and festivals, the plastic footprint, everyone walking on litter at the end of an event, and he just felt like something had to be done. At the same time, he was campaigning for Greenpeace and other organisations, and just really saw that on the one hand, artists were really active and part of the community that wanted progressive change, but on the other hand, hadn't necessarily worked out the ways to do it in their own backyard. So yeah, he formed the organisation with the intent of solving that problem.
And now you're like 10 years down the track, you're coming out with this green guide. I've tried it out a little bit with your interactive map, and I actually find it quite fun. But before we actually start sort of looking at all the interactive stuff, can I just get an idea why you decided to use this guide and not in another form like video or campaigns online?
It came about because one of our early supporters and a really fantastic singer-songwriter known as Jessica Cerro, who goes by the stage name Montaigne. She was on our board for a short while, and while she was there, she told us artists really would benefit from a resource that they can use and share and maybe add to. And so we started developing it with Montaigne maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and then the pandemic hit and a whole range of other things happened. But through that process and sharing it with a range of artists, including a bunch of Sydney artists like Sally Seltman and Brux and Jodie Phyllis, we realised that, yeah, there was a need for a guide for artists. There are plenty of guides out there for event organisers, but not quite as many out in the world for musicians themselves. And we wanted to take an approach that was a little bit different to a lot of the other resources across the world, which was much more accessible language and putting a real emphasis on learning and listening to First Nations people. So it was quite a different guide in that. And then we've gone out and called it Sound Country and had a heap of help from Rhoda Roberts, who co-authored the guide, who is a Bundjalung elder and long-standing arts executive.
Yes, Rhoda Roberts, quite inspiring. I had the lucky opportunity to actually see her in action when I worked as a journalist. I still do freelance, but yes, I love the aspect actually that you've divided it into kind of six areas, the guide, and you started with First Nations. If you could walk us through those areas and why?
Absolutely. I mean, aside from the First Nations first section, a lot of the other areas are typical pillars of sustainability. Like when we talk about sustainability, we often look at waste reduction. We look at low carbon transport, which is particularly important in the music world. We look at food, sustainable food, and we've included a couple things that maybe not typically in these sustainability resources. And the first one is First Nations first, this idea that people here, Indigenous people, have been living in their various countries on this continent and walking really, what's the word, sustainably. It's more than sustainably. They have a stewardship and custodianship and connection to country that means that if country's sick, they're sick, and so there's a constant looking after.
Nidala Barker, musician and environmental activist with Green Music Australia, has been involved for over a year now. She puts out a carbon-neutral album, Colours of My People, which opened the doors to involvement with Green Music Australia. She explains terms as carbon-neutral music or carbon-positive music.
The entire idea behind The Colours of My People was that I wanted to reframe the way in which we think and speak about Indigenous people in Australia, not just as holders of ancient culture, but rather as people who are forming the future in an active way. And as an Aboriginal person, I wanted not just for my voice to be heard in the way that I chose it to be, you know, telling stories about heartbreak and about joy and about pain and about my Indigenous identity, but I also wanted my music to have an impact on the world in a physical way. And so that's why I decided to make the album carbon neutral before it was even published, thanks to a partnership with a brand. And now 40% of all royalties goes to further carbon capturing. And I did that as an attempt to really kind of solidify what action can look like in Australia, particularly led through Indigenous voice. Essentially, any time that we do anything, we have a carbon cost on the planet. So, say if you are eating a salad, the carbon cost of that would have been the water used to wash the car, used to go to the shop, the energy used to grow your food. In music terms, it's a little bit more complicated, but the idea behind carbon neutral music is just that you produce a carbon cost. Whatever that is, whether it's eating a meal or producing a song. Carbon neutral music simply means that I planted trees and seaweed that would capture enough carbon out of the atmosphere to make up for the carbon that I put out by making my music. So I counted things like the power used during the studio sessions, the carbon used by the cars for my band getting to and from the studio, but also before rehearsal. The electricity needed to hold the computers going during production, but also post-production emails, all that kind of thing. And I came up with a certain amount, and then I teamed up with a brand kind enough to pay for all those trees to be planted. So that equated to about 900 trees. Further 40% of that, of the royalties, is going towards planting more trees as well to try and make it carbon positive. So carbon neutral just means that you pull out of the atmosphere as much as you've put in, and carbon positive means that you're pulling out more. It's more about trying to instill a culture of reciprocity between us and our actions and the cost that we have on the world and solutions to not just make up for what we've done, but to make the world a better place, to regenerate where we can.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been talking about this reciprocity between what we do with our lives and Mother Nature for way back when, and the rest of us have just not been listening.
Yeah. It's also that it's not necessarily so much talking about, but it's an embodiment of that fact, right? I think it's very hard to understand our role in climate change or understand our role on the planet when we don't really understand who we are. And I think in Westernized society, you know, we've really, really separated the human being from its environment. But the truth is we are a part of our environment, right? Anytime we take a breath, we inhale the gift of oxygen given to us by the trees, and every time we exhale, we give back carbon dioxide to feed the soil and for the plants to grow. We inherently are a part of our environment, right? Which means that we inherently have an impact on it. Whether that impact is positive and negative, that's up to us to choose. I think what Indigenous people have been saying for a really long time is simply the first part of that, to try and remember that we are in our environment, and when we hurt the climate, we are also hurting ourselves.
And being carbon neutral may mean auditing costs of producing music or replacing your trees, equivalent to what energy you use when producing your music. Nidala agrees it's not a perfect science being carbon neutral with your music and art, but rather making sure what you take out from Mother Earth you also give back.
Indigenous people have lived on this land for an incredibly long time, and already have a deep set relationship with the country. And I think that, and this is not at all to be divisive, but the rest of Australia is playing catch up, not in the sense of that they don't understand what's happening, but that a lot was taken away from them through colonization as well, right? That it's really, really hard to find your way home when you have no roadmap. And I think what's becoming more and more obvious is that Indigenous people hold that roadmap for all of us, right? So to amplify Indigenous voices simply, to give ourselves direction as a collective.
I need to hear what you think about what our politicians are doing now in this country in terms of climate action. And the other aspect of it is that it's coming out that we're acting too slowly at the moment.
I don't think our politicians are really doing near enough. I'm quite sceptical around party politics at best. I think that Australia is in an incredibly shameful position compared to the rest of the world. We're the third biggest polluters in the world with a fraction of the population of other countries, yet we manage to produce significantly more carbon. And I think that in Australia, the whole conversation is placed on the individual on using a keep cup and driving less, but that's not where the real problem is. It's in our economy, it's in our public transport, it's in government systems. No, I don't think the government is doing near enough and certainly not fast enough, but that doesn't mean that we need to follow their suit. It means that we need to set an example and that we need to have a voice in which we understand that it is not enough, and we try as much as we can to set an example on how to do things faster. But I think that we need to be cautious around the conversation of time is running out, because we can slip into angst. And if I've found anything along my way, is that the moment we slip into panic is the moment where we lose collective action. In order to build a better tomorrow, we need for that tomorrow to be appealing, to be enjoyable, to be joyful, to be filled with art and dance and music. That's the world that we're living towards and that we're moving towards. That's really where I place my faith and hope, not in the politics.
I want us to go renewables. I want us to go towards solar. But then what about the jobs of those people who work in the coal mines? Do you have any opinion about this or any personal view about this?
To me, it's an insult to say that people who work in the mines cannot be retrained to work on a solar farm. There are intelligent people who are capable and understanding of their environment. To me, it's completely paternalistic and condescending to say that they cannot be retrained to do something sustainable. I would recommend for anybody to read and go through the Green Artist Guide, because that is just so full to the brim with solutions. But I think that the most important question we need to ask isn't necessarily the tips and the how, because there isn't one solution. Right? There's as many solutions of being sustainable as there are people alive. The key is, how can you build a relationship of reciprocity with your environment to figure out, maybe it's something as simple as you're writing a song for the tree down the road that you really like, right? Maybe it's, okay, today you're going to walk further than you did before. You're going to engage in a different part of the environment. I think it's a dangerous road to get caught in the details of specifics of what somebody can do, because very quickly people say, oh, that sounds too hard. That's not me. I think the focus, the first step needs to be, what do you love and what do you want to protect? And then that very quickly will give you solutions, because the solutions are already there. They exist. A lot of this conversation around sustainability slips into helplessness, because it's as if we have to invent the wheel itself, but we don't. The solutions exist. There are hundreds of guides and YouTube videos about how to do things better, but that's too overwhelming. So you need to start, all of us need to start with figuring out what it is that we care about and chipping away at that. Because none of us can single-handedly save the world. That's going to have to be collective action, but we can save our corner of the world.
Nidala Barker then, musician and Indigenous artist and activist, speaking on her craft and the newly introduced Sound Country Guide for Musicians and Artists.